This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I testify that there is none worthy of worship and devotion but the Almighty Allah alone. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and die not except in a state of surrender, submission to your Lord. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and observe the rights of your kin. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah. Fear Him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the divine words of Allah. And the best guidance and way of life is that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst things in the religion are the newly invented matters. For all the newly invented matters in religion are considered to be heretical innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. It is reported authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that one day he was sending an expedition, a group of the companions. And he wants to appoint an emir, a commander over them. So he asks every one of them, مَا مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. What do you have of the Qur'an? What have you learnt of the Qur'an? So everyone started to tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how much they have learnt of the Quran so far, until one of them said, "Ma'i al-Baqaratu wa Ali Imran." I have learnt al-Baqarah and Ali Imran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in amazement and admiration, he said, "Ma'ak al-Baqaratu wa Ali Imran." Qala na'am. With you is al-Baqarah and Ali Imran? The man said, "Yes." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idhhab fa anta amiruhum." You are their commander and their leader. Salah ad-Din rahimahullahu ta'ala, Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, as he was achieving one victory after the other and getting closer to Bayt al-Maqdis, as they were camping, when they were to the northeast of Bayt al-Maqdis, when they were camping before the battle takes place, he was checking the encampment, the camps of his soldiers, of his army, in the middle of the night, when normally we would expect the soldiers to be what? Taking rest, getting ready for tomorrow, for the big day of tomorrow. And the commander as well should be well rested. But Salah ad-Din doesn't even send any of his assistants to go and check on the army. He goes himself personally to check on each one of the tents where his army was supposed to take or supposed to rest for the night. Every time he passes by any group of Muslims, group of the army, of the soldiers, He finds them reading Quran. Then he passes by one tent, and there is no light in that tent, and there is no sound of recitation. They were asleep. A commander of today would say these are the ideal group among the army because they're well rested, they are prepared for tomorrow. But not in the books of believers. Not in the books of those who understand life according to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a difference between believers and between people who don't truly believe. So Salah ad-Din, when he sees this tent and he says, if we lose tomorrow, then it's because of this tent, because of the group in this tent. إِنْ غُلِبْنَا غَدًا فَبِسَبَبِ هَؤُلَاءِ. That's the kind of logic with which they processed reality, with which they defended their land and their religion, and they defended the weaker people against the oppressors. That's the kind of logic and practicality they had. And it was practical. It was the most practical, and it paid off. And it changed the course of history. But today, if you were to narrate this or relate these two stories to any person with any kind of military background or leadership, they would disagree because they calculate things in a secular fashion, in an atheistic fashion that doesn't believe in Allah, doesn't believe that things are in the hands of Allah, doesn't believe that victory comes from Allah, doesn't believe that there is a well of power, a source of strength that can only be tapped into when you connect to Allah. It's not merely physical. The calculations are different, although they take the facts on the ground into consideration, but they have a wider perspective on reality. This is the power of the Quran. This is the power of the Quran. And because we have rendered the Quran in our lives as some form of decoration, some sort of superficial, surface kind of worship, we read the Quran in Ramadan, if we happen to read it. Or maybe once a week. Or every now and then. We pick up the Quran to read, and 10 minutes, 15 minutes into our recitation, we already feel bored and disconnected. Because we're expecting the same kind of cheap entertainment that we get from social media and from other sources of entertainment. And that's a symptom of the disease that is eating at our hearts. And that is keeping us weak. When the Prophet ﷺ saw that this man had Al-Baqarah and then Ali Imran, not only when he said, I have them, not only did he commit them to memory, because that was not the style of learning among the companions and the early generations. When they read the Quran, it transformed their life. They memorized the words. They learned how to recite it correctly. And they contemplated its meanings. They understood the meanings. And then they implemented everything in the verses. They embodied the spirit and the instructions of the Quran. And this is how the Quran transformed them, changed them. The ultimate goal of many of us who want to learn the Quran today is just to memorize it. Now, don't get me wrong, memorizing it is a great thing, but it's only the first step. It's only the first step. And today I have some quotes to share with you that will enlighten us about the Quran and about how we should engage with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from people who live their life according to the Quran, from people who let the Quran color their life, add the flavor to their life. So for those who have memorized the Quran in terms of recitation, know that this is the first step, and it's time for you now to start learning the meanings of the Quran by learning the tafsir from the scholars, from the trustworthy sources of tafsir. And when you learn the tafsir, that's not the end. You want also to learn the tafsir that suggests and that instructs you in how you can implement the Quran and live according to it. And when you possess the Quran in such a manner, you have to make the Quran your companion. If you sleep the whole night, you're not a person of the Quran. The Quran is not important in your life. If you do not read the Quran at least once every 40 days, you're not from the people of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran what happens, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Oh my Lord, my people have cut off the Quran, have disengaged from the Quran. And there are varying degrees of disengagement. Some of them we the Muslims are guilty of. The scholar says if 40 days pass without you reading the full Quran at least once, فَإِنَّكَ هَاجِرٌ لِلْقُرْآنِ, you are one of those who disengaged with the Quran and cut it off. Hajr. Hajr is when you cut someone off and don't speak to them. And there's no relationship between you and them anymore. And that's a grave sin. That's a grave sin. And that explains as well, in the light of the two stories that we mentioned at the beginning of this khutbah, why we Muslims are in the state we are in. Because a lot of us think the Quran is information. Think I can read a little bit of the Quran and get some information. Or I've read this verse maybe a few years ago, I got what's in it, it's over with. That's not how you engage with the Quran. That's not how you engage with the Quran. There is some narrations that came from the Prophet ﷺ, but they actually can be more authentically traced back to some of the companions, where the Prophet ﷺ, or the companion actually, comments about the Quran, describes the Quran. He says, لَا تَنْقَضِي عَجَائِبُهُ. The miracles, the wonders of the Quran are never exhausted. وَلَا تَفْنَى أَسْرَارُهُ. And the secrets can never be covered or learned fully. It keeps producing secrets. وَلَا يَخْلَقُ عَلَى كَثْرَةِ التَّرْدَادِ. And you will never feel bored of the Quran if you truly engage with it. So those who read the Quran find it difficult, then they give up on it. That's because you are impatient. People say, I've read, but I'm not getting enough of the Quran. I'm not feeling it. So they give up on it when they should persist. Because there's a point of breakthrough. That when you prove your commitment, when you show your persistence, when you don't give up, Allah will create an opening for you. Allah will give you a breakthrough where you would fall in love with the Quran and you would never get enough of it. And then you will start to see the barakah and the blessings of the divine words of Allah in your life and in your family. Your perception of the world will start to change. Your understanding of reality will shift in positive and empowering ways. These are things you can never fathom, you can never relate to unless you cross over that breakthrough point. You have to cross over to the other side. And it takes persistence. And it takes patience. And it takes investment. The Quran is Allah's words. It's a treasure. And the treasure should never be given to a lazy person who's not willing to pay the price. Many of us struggle. Why? Because you have not tried enough. You have not pushed through hard enough. That's the ultimate reason. Oh, I can't relate to it. The problem is in you. These are divine words. So what should I do? Wait until someone comes to rescue you. You'll die before that. Then you will regret it on the day of judgment. Why wait? So what should I do? Keep engaging with the Quran. Don't give up. There are people who engage in business for 5 years and it doesn't work out. 10 years, it doesn't work out. 20 years, and they don't give up. 30 years, 40 years, they keep trying and they never give up. We are willing to put that type of persistence and commitment with matters of the dunya. But with the Book of Allah, 5 minutes, it's over. We are the ummah of the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ says, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best among you are the ones who learn the Quran and the ones who teach it. A lot of the problems, all of the problems we have, their solution, their main solution is the Quran. But we don't see it because we look at the Quran, we see the Quran through a secularist lens. We think more like non-Muslims than we think the Quran is a book of information. Once I get the information, okay, fine, I've done my job. No, the Quran, the more you read it, the more it opens up. That's the tool to unlock the secrets of the Quran. You keep reading and reading and reading and you never get enough of it. The companions, radiallahu anhum, would read the Quran. Many of them would read the Quran every 3 days. 10 juz every day. Some of them would complete the Quran and do a khatma every 4 days. Some of them 5 days. Majority of them 7 days. And they'll be done with the Quran. Then they start over. And they never get enough. They never get enough. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu says, Wallahi law salahat qulubuna ma shabi'at min al-Quran. He said, had our hearts been healthy, we would never get enough of the Quran. We'd never be satisfied with what we read. We would always want to read more. That's a sign that your heart is healthy. Because when the heart is filled with corruption, the heart has absorbed a lot of evil, a lot of misconceptions, a lot of false notions. When you read the Quran, there is a conflict and it's uncomfortable. When you keep reading the Quran, you allow it to shape your heart. You allow it to open up your soul. So when you feel the resistance, that means keep going. Push harder. Don't give up. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers you His mercy. And then you don't have to push yourself. The Quran will carry you. You will fall in love with it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Before we continue with some quotes from the companions رضي الله عنهم and the تابعين and some of the great Muslim scholars about the Quran and life with the Quran, just a reminder, Ramadan is round the corner. It's about 10 days from now. And I will leave the talk about Ramadan, inshallah, Sheikh Ali Al-Barghouthi for next Friday. But these are just reminders, because when we talk about the Quran, we're talking also about Ramadan. And the connection is strong between the Quran and Ramadan. And one of the best ways to prepare yourself for Ramadan and get ready for Ramadan, warm up, gear up for Ramadan, is to start engaging with the Quran. Because Sha'ban, this month, used to be called in the past, in the Muslim Ummah, Shahrul Qurra. The month of the Qurra, the reciters of the Qur'an. Why? Because they would gear up with the Qur'an before Ramadan so that when Ramadan comes, they are at a peak of their performance. Not as we do, we wait till Ramadan comes, then we start, and obviously we burn out in a few days and we don't continue. So the reminder here is that you know that at Abu Hurairah, there is the iftar, the daily iftar. And it's such a landmark, I would say, during Ramadan in this community where people come together and people break their fast together and then people pray Taraweeh together. Such a great gathering upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we pray and we hope that there will be great reward for everyone involved. But you know that for the iftar to take place and be secured and to go without hiccups, we really there is a huge burden when it comes to the funds. And there is still a lot of room for those who want to donate, who want to help out with donating towards the iftar. And remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man fattara sa'iman kana lahu mithlu ajrihi. He who feeds a fasting person to open their fast, they would get a similar reward. So you can actually, and the reward of fasting is great. So this is an opportunity, don't forget, to donate towards the iftar in Ramadan. And I hope, we hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the most generous, that the reward will not only go to the iftar of the sa'im, but also to bringing the people together, to bring in the people to the masjid, and to help them to experience the sense of community for their families, and think about all of this impact on our children, our families, how it strengthens them in their iman, and reinforces their Muslim identity. So a couple of quotes here. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, لا ينبغي أن يسأل أحدكم عن نفسه إلا في القرآن فإن كان يحب القرآن فهو يحب الله عز وجل. You should never check yourself against any parameter, any criterion but the Quran. For if you love the Quran, you love Allah. And the opposite of what he's saying is that if you don't love the Quran, you don't love Allah. If you're not experiencing the love of the Quran, there is a serious flaw with your love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, says, "Man ahabba al-Qur'ana faqad ahabba Allah." He who loves the Quran loves Allah. Same point. That shows that people say, you know, does Allah love me? Allah would love you in as much as you love Him. But the love is not a claim. The most accurate sign of how much love you have for Allah is how much Quran do you have in your life? Is the level of engagement with the Quran. This is what it boils down to. Forget about all of the, you know, wishful thinking that we all have. That's, you know, when you get to the reality of the matter. Sahl al-Tustari, rahimahullah, one of the great worshippers, says, Alamatu hubbillahi hubbul Quran. The sign of the love of Allah is the love of the Quran. Abu Sa'id al-Kharraz, Man ahabba Allah ahabba kalam Allah wa lam yashba' min tilawatihi. He who loves Allah would love to recite the words of Allah, and he would never get enough of the Quran, of the recitation of the Quran. Muhammad ibn Ka'b rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, look at how they engaged with the Quran. لأن أقرأ إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها سورة الزلزلة والقارعة أرددهما وأتفكر فيهما أحب إلي من أن أهذ القرآن. That I recite إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا and Al-Qari'ah, keep reading them and repeating them and reflecting upon them, is something that I prefer over reading the whole Qur'an so quickly just to get to the end of it. قال الإمام النووي رحمه الله وقد بات جماعات من السلف يتلون آية واحدة يتدبرونها ويرددونها إلى الصباح. From the early generations, especially the companions, that one of them would pray the whole night repeating one verse, reflecting over and over on the meaning of this verse till the morning, the whole night. That's when you unlock the Quran and it opens up the treasury of its secrets. You don't get enough. But when you don't engage with the Quran correctly, you feel, oh, that's boring. It's not boring, it's just enriching. But that's a world you have to tap into. قال رجل لابن المبارك رحمه الله قرأت البارحة القرآن في ركعة فقال لكني أعرف رجلا لم يزل البارحة يقرأ ألهاكم التكاثر إلى الصبح ما قدر أن يجاوزها يعني نفسه رحمه الله. A man said to Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, he said, I read the whole Quran last night in one rak'ah. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak said to him, but I know a man who spent the whole night reciting one small surah, Al-Hakum al-Takathur, until the morning, until Fajr. He keeps repeating it. He was talking about himself. That's how they engaged with the Quran. That's how they would get the most out of the Quran. قال الحافظ ابن حجر رحمه الله المقصود من تلاوة القرآن العمل بما دل عليه. The main purpose of reading the Quran and learning the Quran is to act upon its guidance. قال وهيب بن الورد لم نجد شيئا أرق لهذه القلوب ولا أشد استجلابا للحق من قراءة القرآن لمن تدبره. So وهيب بن الورد, he says, we found nothing that brings softness and life to the heart and nothing that teaches you the truth more efficient than the Quran. So there's a lot of these quotes. But the bottom line, if when you engage with the Quran, many people, you know, explain the Quran away as, yeah, some act of worship, pure act of worship, but you need to get to the facts of life. You need to educate yourself. These are the thoughts and the words of someone who doesn't know the Quran. He's foreign to the Quran. He's speaking about the Quran from a distance. Doesn't know what the Quran is. He assumes the Quran is just mere information and just a pure act of worship that doesn't have an impact on you. No, there are dimensions in humans, in their understanding, in their cognition, in their practicality of their life, in the way they deal with the world and they address the real problems of the world that can only be unlocked with the Quran. These are gifts that Allah gives the believers and He has reserved only for the believers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among them. So start engaging with the Quran from today. Get ready for Ramadan and make sure that you continue after Ramadan. How many Ramadans? Many of us said, yes, I engage with the Quran and we start to enjoy it and we say, I want to make the Quran a staple in my life. But you know what? When Ramadan is over, we didn't come back to the Quran. Make sure that this year you don't do this again. Make sure that this year you're going to take the Quran as a companion and you will never leave it. You will never give it up. You will never grow bored of it. That you would commit to it. And I promise, and it's the promise of Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, that your life would change in ways you never thought were possible. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم ارحمنا برحمتك. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وتجاوز عنا سيئاتنا واغفر لنا تقصيرنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويعمل فيه بكتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم كن للمستضعفين من المؤمنين في كل مكان. اللهم ارحم ضعفهم واجبر كسرهم. اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم كن لأهلنا في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي الشام وفي السودان وفي جميع أصقاع الأرض برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر عبادك المؤمنين ومكن لهم في أرضك. اللهم عليك بأعدائك أعداء الدين, اللهم عليك بهم. اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم اجعلهم عبرة لكل معتبر. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.